evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I am John Tanza and here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, March 18, 2020. Four senior military officers desert Riek Machar's SPLM-IO.
The reasons are many, but important among them is the way that the movement is being run and managed.
And health officials are asking the residents of Juba Town to stop panicking about the coronavirus.
If all our neighbors are affected, I think we are at high risk. In Konyo, hand sanitizers used to be 700, and I didn't like buying from there because I felt like they are always heated, they are not stored well. I used to like going to Phoenicia where there is AC, no sweating. But yesterday I was forced to go to Konyo, and there were 7,000.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Four top SPLA-IO generals have defected to the South Sudan People's Defense Force on Tuesday. The generals, who include Lieutenant General James Kong Chol, former Deputy Chief of General Staff for Administration in Riek Machar's SPLA-IO, say they are not happy with the appointment of Angelina Teng, who is also Riek Machar's wife, as Defense Minister. The generals accused the leadership of SPLM-IO of working without consultations. Lasuba Memo reports for VOA from Juba.
The four generals announced their resignation from the SPLM-IO in Juba yesterday, citing dissatisfaction with party leadership. Major General Joseph Yata Eresto, former member of the Joint Defense Technical Team, who also resigned, read a joint statement to reporters in Juba.
The reasons are many, but important among them is the way that the movement is being run and managed. The SPLM-IO has lost directions, vision, and command of the forces, that it is turned into a family affairs or business enterprises. The recent appointment of the Minister of Defense and Veteran Affairs without consultation of Military Command Council in the movement is case in point.
Other generals who defected and declared allegiance to President Alpha Kiir include Lieutenant General James Kong Chol, former Deputy Chief of General Staff for Administration, Major General Gatkor Gatluak Koryom, former co-chair of the Joint Military Ceasefire Commission, and Major General Wang Chang Tiang, a former member of the Joint Defense Technical Team. Machar removed Lieutenant General Chol from his position as co-chair of the Joint Defense Force early this year. In a statement yesterday, Machar confirmed the defection. He instructed party members and commanders not to communicate with the defectors. Aduok Nyaba, a lecturer of linguistic studies at the University of Juba, says the move by the generals was nothing more than expressing their dissatisfaction over the establishment of the new cabinet.
By resigning, they registered their disappointment to the leadership of IO. So what must have angered, they just went to register their anger, you know. But I don't think it will really make any much difference.
Zakaria Ding, a policy analyst at the Sud Institute, agrees, saying the generals left the IO because the expectations were not met.
So it's a question of which side are you on? And unfortunately, in South Sudan now, the conflict for the most part has been about positions. So if you feel like you are in a party that will not give you what you want, then you look for another place where you go. And there are stories of, you know, defections also from the government side to the IO, what people expect to get, and if they don't get it, then they try to look for a place where they will get it. They are much less about the vision of the country.
Ask whether the latest move by the generals will derail implementation of the peace process. Nyaba says as long as the generals don't take arms, not much will change.
There would be value added if we would say going back to the situation of war. So that situation where the violation of cessation of hostility, you will have more army generals now than the and more soldiers than the IO.
In their letter, the generals appealed to their field commanders and forces to respect the permanent ceasefire. They also called on their forces to report themselves to cantonment sites and training centers as part of the security arrangements. Zakaria Dean calls the move nothing to worry about because the generals have expressed their commitment to implementing the peace agreement.
Good news is that it is a change within. At this stage in time, you know, the Artigono is being formed. The security arrangements have already been started. Forces have reported to the cantonment sites. So their defection should not be a major concern because it is happening at the time that the leader of the IO is part of the government, the new government to be, which is being formed.
Ding says both Kiir and Machar have demonstrated their commitment to implementing the peace deal by making significant compromises, which led to the formation of the unity government. Ding says while Kiir reverted to 10 states, Machar agreed to help form a unity government without accomplishing the security arrangements. He also says the government has taken responsibility for Machar's full security in Juba in the absence of a unified force. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
Eyewitnesses and police officials say dozens of people died in intercommunal fighting between two clans in the Lake State capital Rumbek over the weekend. Captain Elijah Mabor Makwach, former police spokesperson in the now-defunct Western Lakes State, confirms deadly fighting took place between two different communities. William Sandy Mabor reports from Rumbek.
Eyewitness say the violence started on Saturday morning. Captain Elijah Mabor Makwach, former police spokesperson in the now defunct Western Lakes State, confirms deadly fighting took place between two different communities on Saturday.
The 36th person was reported killed and 57 others wounded. This was the report which was been given to us. After we received the information that the fighting is taking place now at Torch, the government immediately put in place some mechanism for how they can provide security, likely areas for attack. So the government organized forces, security forces, and they were sent out to patrol.
Medical workers at Rumbek State Hospital say they have received nearly 50 wounded youth. Dr. Peter Manyang, who is treating some of the wounded, says three of the youth have what he described as serious injuries.
Yeah, for sure, all the patients, they have got medication. Some are given painkillers and antibiotic and IV fluid. Whoever dehydrated, we manage them to give IV fluid. Some they don't have urine before they are dehydrated. We infuse them, we give blood, and to those who need blood and those who are really need IV fluid, we give some an antibiotic and painkillers, and we keep on making dressing in the ward and others monitoring.
Amor Man Morong, a student nurse working in the surgical ward, says relatives of some of the wounded have acted aggressive towards the medical staff.
Another challenge that we have been experiencing is the fear that the people from outside may come with those grudges inside the facility. But the security organs in the state have managed to make a serious deployment around the hospital, and even in the wards that we suspect that some people may come and identify this person is from this side. And as medical personnel, we don't treat people based on their identities.
John Mawood, a relative of one of the wounded, has condemned the fighting, saying the same clans keep fighting each other in a cycle of revenge attacks.
We call the government to come and disarms our people so that our people will come and stay in peace. It is time for peace, not time for conflict again. So our people and our government, it is time for you to see the civilians. It is not a right to the civilian to have a gun. Gun it is for soldiers.
Sambal Makara Awaj, another relative to one of the wounded, also condemned the fighting among his people in Rumbek and called upon immediate disarmament in the state.
I'm not happy, and I call upon the national government to intervene, to disarm them, take away the guns from their hands. If I may ask a question like this, people are always fighting the real game because of the grassland. Why not cows themselves to fight about those grassland? So now, why not for cows to fight about the grassland?
Joseph Mapor Machar, who had a family member killed in the fighting, says the fighting and cattle raids must stop. Is calling on the relevant authorities to find a solution to the intercommunal conflict in Rumbek.
As today I speak to you, it is my surprise and wonder to let our community kill themselves as it was take place Saturday in Katol camp, where many people were died with no reason that they were fighting for. As today, I am here today request the high authority, the international government, to intervene, to help this community, to disarm them, to remove the gun from civilians.
Communities in Lagos State have repeatedly attacked and counterattacked each other since South Sudan declared its independence in 2011. Many peace conferences have been organized to try to reconcile various communities, but violence continues. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabior in Rumbek, Lagos State.
A court in the Jonglei State capital, Bor, has sentenced a suspected cattle raider to 3 years in prison on Monday after he was found guilty of raiding cattle in Twitch East County. Jonglei State High Court judge says the convict must also pay 46 heads of cattle. Dengai Deng reports for VOA from Bor.
Jonglei State High Court Judge John Yela Leu says he found Kleinga guilty of raiding cattle under Section 293 of the South Sudan Penal Code Act 2008. Judge Leu says Gak stole 46 cows and bulls belonging to Mayaniyak and Ajang Bure from Wanglei Village in Twiches County.
Mayaniyak complained that he lost more than 46 cows in the area of Wanglei. And the judge said, until they got it with the accused Kleinga here in Bor Town, he's been arrested and the case has been forwarded for the trial. During the trial case, the court heard the witness of the two parties and even the accused persons and passed the judgment under Section 293. It is a theft.
Judge Aleu ordered Gak to serve his 3-year prison sentence at Bor Central Prison and compensate the cattle owners.
Is to compensate the 46 head of cattle while the 5 have been got, been found already. So he has to pay the rest of 41 head of cattle for the complainer.
Judge Aleu says the parties have 15 days to appeal. Speaking in Dinka, complainant Ajang Bure says he is satisfied with the ruling, but wonders if Gak is also responsible for people killed in his community.
When we lost our cows in Wanglei, we thought we would not get them like the rest of the cows that are always raided by unknown gunmen. But we are glad that we found the raider and the court ruled accordingly. We were like, this could be the same person responsible for the death of our people who are always killed among the cattle. But the judge said there was no evidence.
Immediately following the judge's decisions, Gak said the ruling was not fair. South Sudan in Focus was unable to record Gak's voice because police officers immediately escorted Gak away to be imprisoned. Deadly cattle raids have been common in Jonglei State for years, but few of the perpetrators are brought to face justice in a court of law. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, how are residents of Juba Town reacting to the coronavirus? That story is coming up right after this break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
Traders in Juba's custom market say the fear of the coronavirus is negatively affecting their businesses. The traders say the number of customers has dropped in the last 4 days, with most potential customers preferring to buy from shops in less congested areas. Trader Idris Ibrahim says most traders have run out of stock imported from countries with cases of corona. Viola Elias reports for VOA from Juba.
Sitting quietly in front of his fully stocked grocery shop in Juba's custom market, Sudanese national Idris Ibrahim stares at passerbys, hoping some of them will step into his store. Ibrahim says sales have declined sharply over the last few days, especially since many countries closed their ports, forcing a hike in prices of imported wheat, flour, sugar, tea leaves and other foodstuffs. Speaking in Arabic, Ibrahim says traders in Juba used to buy an imported sack of garlic for 8,000 South Sudanese pounds. Now it is going for 14,000 South Sudanese pounds.
They are goods
that used to be imported directly from China and Dubai to Juba. But now we don't get those goods because of the coronavirus pandemic. Other imported goods are now scarce in the market, and if even you find it available in the market, it has become very expensive. Even now, we are not benefiting from our sales like we used to do before the spread of coronavirus to some of the African continents and world at large. In the past months, custom market used to be crowded because many come and buy goods in bulk. But now people are fearing to come inside a crowded place, and others even prefer staying at home or buying things from the outside shops.
Ibrahim is calling on the National Health Ministry to provide citizens with masks and hand sanitizers to help protect themselves should there be a confirmed cases of coronavirus identified in South Sudan in the future. Another custom market trader who prefers to be called Lugeleng says he gets less than 10 customers a day. Speaking in Arabic, Lugeleng says with so few customers, he cannot afford to buy new goods for his shop.
Business is not like before. Even the stock I have in my shop are not new stock, and those are the goods that I brought some months ago. Right now, there is no way for me to import new stocks because of virus, maybe until the pandemic stop. This coronavirus has really made some prices of the goods to go up.
Tony John, another shop owner in Juba's custom market who deals in importing second-hand clothes and hair wig, says business has dropped off because people are not coming to the market.
No business now. We need money. No money.
America and this thing. Cutting nails.
Yeah, people are not coming. People are not coming. People are not coming. Advising people that no, we need people to come out.
John believes the fear of coronavirus is not the only reason people are not coming to the market. He thinks many people do not have money. He is urging South Sudanese ministries to look into the matter and come up with possible solution to boost sales. The World Health Organization described the coronavirus pandemic as the defining global health crisis of our time and urges countries to test all suspected cases of COVID-19. WHO says the virus has infected nearly 2,000 people worldwide. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still on corona, some South Sudanese in the capital Juba are panicking as rumors of the corona pandemic spread on the social media. Residents of the town are busy buying masks, gloves and hand sanitizers to avoid contracting the virus. The country's health ministry is urging people not to panic because there is still no confirmed case of the disease in the country. World Health Organization official says people should wash their hands regularly, cover their mouth and nose when coughing and sneezing to prevent the spread of the disease. David Monodanga reports for VOA from Juba.
South Sudanese are panicking as they fear the disease, which is in neighboring Kenya and Sudan, could soon reach South Sudan. Some Juba residents have bought protective gear, including masks, gloves, and hand sanitizers. Juba resident Zaida Ibrahim says she wears the masks because of rumors that there is coronavirus in the country. She says she is also looking for hand sanitizers, which are scarce in the market.
We saw the Rwanda case and then the Afex saga. And if all our neighbors are affected, I think we are at high risk. In Konyo, hand sanitizers used to be 700, and I didn't like buying from there because I felt like they are always heated, they are not stored well. I used to like going to Phoenicia where there is AC, no sweating, but yesterday I was forced to go to Konyo and there were 7,000.
Ibrahim says she is still looking for cheaper places to buy hand sanitizer. Most traders selling masks refuse to speak to South Sudan in Focus. The manager of Phoenicia Supermarket, who declined to be identified by name or have his voice recorded, admitted there is high demand for the masks and hand sanitizers because of coronavirus. He said the supermarket sold all stock 3 days ago. Another Juba resident, Dr. Gordon, says he knows that there are no confirmed cases of coronavirus in South Sudan, but believes it is important for people to wear protective gear.
Me wearing masks and gloves is to create awareness to those other people that there is coronavirus in Africa and most especially in the neighboring countries like Ethiopia, Sudan, Kenya, as well as Congo. So putting that in mind, of course, creating awareness alone is very important. And secondly is that I also want to do self-prevention because there are a lot of suspected cases and you never know with the kind of travels in and out of the country, there is also high possibility that we can be able to get coronavirus.
There has been much debate on social media about coronavirus, with some alleging the government was hiding the truth from the public. Others like Aleo Garang tweeted a cartoon of diplomats avoiding medical practitioners who test and screen travelers for coronavirus at Juba International Airport. The cartoon reads, "I can't be infected. I am an ambassador. I have diplomatic immunity." Garang wrote, quote, "Juba International Airport does not cover all passengers as others slip through the presidential VIP lounge with their diplomatic immunity. How many guests will greet our president afterward?" Dr. Makur Matur Koryom, undersecretary in South Sudan's health ministry, downplayed the claims Monday evening, telling journalists all diplomats are being screened since the virus does not discriminate between social statuses. Koryom revealed that 4 government officials are currently being quarantined.
"Just wanted to clear the air and to make facts available and to dispel the allegations of conspiracy theory. People are saying that we are actually the disease in South Sudan and that we are covering it up. The good thing with this disease is that it does not discriminate. It affects the rich and the poor. And I think we have gotten a lot of information from the media. The Home Secretary in Australia..."
Dr. Gurasha Guyo, the World Health Organization's emergency coordinator in South Sudan, advises the public to observe personal hygiene to prevent the spread of the virus.
"We need to take precautions. Washing our hands, keeping distance from somebody who's coughing. When you are coughing, respiratory hygiene, this will go a long way in ensuring that in case we get a case in this country, we'll be able to support it not from spreading to the population."
Just like other countries around the world, South Sudan has imposed a ban on public gatherings and travel in an effort to combat the virus. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Sections of communities in South Sudan are celebrating the life of a U.S. missionary who has used education to change the lives of hundreds of South Sudanese in a bid to transform the society. Last weekend, a group of youth calling themselves Daniel Mapurdi Komboni School alumni from Lake State organized an event in Juba to celebrate the life of Father Michael D. Barton under the theme, Appreciate a Person While Still Alive. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
A group of women perform a traditional song in the Dinga language during a celebration marking Father Michael D. Barton's life. The Mapordit alumni say Daniel Komboni Mapordit Primary School initiated by Father Michael has educated more than 500 children who are now graduates of various fields working across South Sudan and outside its borders. Komboni School graduate Priscilla Nyalweth Maluk says if Father Michael did not start a school in her village, it's highly unlikely she would have ever received an education at a time the country was in the midst of a civil war.
I benefited a lot from Father Michael because the first day I entered school, I was just a kid. But right now, the place I am and where I am, I've graduated. I have a diploma in procurement and logistics, and I'm managing my own business, and I'm taking care of other families.
29-year-old Robert Mayen from Northern Bar El Ghazal, who holds a bachelor's degree in petroleum engineering from the University of All Nations in Ghana, says it was because of Father Michael's decision to start missionary work in Nyamulele village that he was able to get an education. Mayen describes Father Michael as a visionary.
He raised me in a special way because he encouraged me to finish my education, and through him I was able to go to Kenya to study my second school there. Upon my arrival, he still supported me up to the time I went to the university. I graduated.
Born in 1948, Father Michael first arrived in and then the Southern Sudan region in 1978 and began his missionary work in villages around Juba and Terkeka. In 1993, he moved to what is now known as Lakes State, where he founded the Mapordit Komboni School. In 2002, Father Michael proceeded to Nyamulele, Northern Bar El Ghazal, where he served as a Catholic priest for 11 years and continued to establish schools in the area. Father Michael more recently moved to Magok, where he continues his missionary work. Father Michael was asked why he traveled to Juba when it was at war with Khartoum.
What inspired me is God. Obviously, he had a plan in my life, and so he inspired me to become a priest and to become a missionary. And the person who told me about the Komboni missionaries was an ex-brother of the Sacred Heart who had worked in the Torit area and, as a brother. And he left, got married.
Mangara Buang, the former governor of the now defunct Eastern Lakes State, who worked as an administrator when Father Michael served the area, describes him as a comrade who helped liberate South Sudanese children from the despair they faced in life. U.S. Ambassador to South Sudan Thomas Hasek was among the dignitaries attending the celebration marking Father Michael's achievements.
These, of course, are not values that are unique to America. These are values that belong to the whole world. Everybody has a right to an education. Every citizen in every country here in South Sudan, especially, we should mark that.
Hundreds of Mapordit alumni and communities from Juba and Awil, where Michael served, gathered at the Nyakuron Cultural Center to celebrate Michael's life. They praised Father Michael for continuing to work in what they call dangerous areas of South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Mere Kokuju Saka by DDJ Muzika. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for listening, and remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Adinyo kasoyo ya Ikoto alobo Galala kamera Rosa kaze Galala kamera Rosa kaze.